Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well today. Sat with a word of prayer. Got here we're at Sea of Galilee, John 21 today. Yeah, we've got a picture here of we see Jesus there on the shore calling out to them in the boat. And get a kind of a picture of what might have been like.
I'll start with a word of prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to look into your word, to see something new and real for us in our lives today, that we can be a testimony to you, Lord, and that we can share your word with others around us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So as we saw there, as we're coming to first John 21, we're going to talk about the famous Peter sequence of events. Reading here at John 21:1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. I just wanted to bring in 1 Corinthians 15, 6 through 8, some other things that are referenced about this period of time prior to this, that was going on during this time, and it's by Paul later in Corinthians. This is also something that mentioned in John, I thought I'd show. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, 6, after that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Of course, this is Paul referencing himself. This is later on the Damascus Road, as we're familiar with, that Paul gets his moment to actually see Jesus. I always thought it kind of interesting, too, that Paul was alive and of a fairly adultish age during Jesus' ministry. We really don't see anything Gospels about him, which is kind of interesting. Okay, back to John 21:2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I go fishing." Say unto him, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto the children, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered him, "No, no children or sirs." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. I had one more picture that another painting from that same group kind of shows that that scene. Them trying to draw in the fish. Verse 7. And therefore the disciples, whom Jesus loved, that's always John's way of referencing himself, said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisherman's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Sorry. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid up thereon and bread. Like a comment, another commentary I like commented. He says, I gotta admire every time you see Jesus after the resurrection, they're always having something to eat. My kind of guy. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And I still to this day have not heard a really good idea on what on why they numbered 153. That's probably plagued prophecy buffs and everybody for years and years and years. Maybe it's something that someday we'll finally figure out. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Still fascinated by this. And again, most people think it's because there's one reference that Jesus must have had a beard and it was pulled out during the crucifixion. And if you've ever had a friend who's had a beard and all of a sudden one day cut it off, it's amazing that you almost can't recognize him when you see him again, particularly if it's been a long time that they've been wearing a beard. Some people say that it could be the reason. Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, and after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Some interesting things about this particular, of course we're going to see him, Jesus is going to ask him the question three times. But unlike English, we only really have one word for love. The Greek has like four or five different ways of saying love. And we've all heard that the word agape, which is a kind of a divine love. It's a total love. And so here Jesus is actually using the word agape. But Peter responds with a little bit lesser form. Leo, which is like friendship kind of love, yes, I'm fond of you kind of love. And there's some commentaries I've read that say that I think this is that Peter didn't feel worthy to use the word agape in this situation because he had denied him. Verse 16. And he said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Same thing here. Lord used agape and Peter used phileo. Now verse 17. And he said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And this time, Jesus actually used the word phileo instead of agape. Now, I don't think that Jesus changed his mind on how he felt about Peter, but he wanted Peter to realize what that Jesus had confidence in him, but Peter didn't have confidence in himself. So that going forward, as we'll we'll see. And as you know, Peter does very well after the Holy Spirit comes to him in Acts 1. He becomes on fire for the Lord and never denies him again that I know of. Okay, verse 18. Very verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall girt thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, there's some tradition that says Peter was actually crucified, and he requested to be crucified upside down. That might be what was referenced by the stretching forth of hands, and that he could be carried, in other words, on a cross. And John, and I get a hint here that John knew this, knowledge that this book was actually written well after even Peter and Paul and everybody and most of the other disciples had already been martyred. John lived well almost to 100 AD, and they figure he wrote Revelation about in the 90s after he got off Patmos. Well, he wrote it on Patmos, but I'm starting to be suspicious that based on something I read in Revelation, that possibly John was even written, may have even been written after Revelation. Tradition says that John, after he got off of Patmos, went to spent most of his life in Ephesus, ministered there, and that and that's where he died. And so I'll look more into that a little bit as I go forward, see if I can figure out anything. But got me curious as I'm wondering, particularly one particular thing that Jesus says in Revelation. And when we get to that, I will comment about it. But also over in 2 Peter, Peter also acknowledges a little bit about before his death. I mean, he wrote 2 Peter, and I think he knew his time was short. In 1:14, Peter makes this note, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. He's making reference back, I think, to when Jesus mentioned to him that his method of death, and that here he's, he says, put off my tabernacle, and tabernacle can be a reference to our own bodies. In a way. So the Peter here is confirming that he understood what Jesus meant way back in John. Okay, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? They're curious. There seems to be a reference to Judas, but every time I read it, I get a different. I'm wondering if they're talking about Judas, or if Peter is actually talking about himself, because he denied him, and I guess that's a form of betrayal. And so it could be in reference to Peter himself. Jesus said unto him, verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to me, that to thee? Now, it sounds like there was a some things being spread around that that certain disciples were not going to die. Well, we all die. Or that maybe Jesus was going to return. We even get a hint of that. Paul even thought that he was going to return before his life was over. And by the time John is writing these, Paul is already gone. All the rest of the disciples are gone. I think John here knows a little bit more about the situation when he's writing this book than they really knew back when it was actually happening. Just my assessment. As it says in Acts 17:11, take those information and take it all and study it for yourself, as a good Berean would. This is the soul which testified these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, that which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Just to finish off this period of time with Jesus, I thought I would read a few more verses out of Matthew. And it kind of gives a little indication of some other things that happened during this time frame that are of interest. So it's in Matthew 28:10. I'm just going to read about 10 verses here. Some things that were going on are kind of interesting. Say Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that I go into Galilee. Shall they see me? This is when he was telling, I think it was Mary or somebody. It was and this is when he met the ladies, I think, that were leaving the sepulchre. He'd already talked to Mary. But anyways, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that I go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. This is those two people put there by the temple to watch the grave to make sure nobody stole the body. This is what I'm referencing here. Came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. So they're probably telling him that Jesus is not there, and we don't know where he went. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Now, if you're going to lie for us, we're going to pay you lots of money to do it. You saw the disciples come and steal his body. Gotta love it. Now these Pharisees had just had it. There was no way they were going to believe that Jesus could be who he said he was. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, that the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That's in reference to Thomas, I think. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Interesting verse right there. I have run into people that say that, that Jesus only came for the Jews. They run into somebody like that. Here's another great verse here in Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, not just the Jews, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So it's an important verse, and it's interesting to me that there's a lot of people out there that pick and choose verses, and they don't want to go by the whole counsel of God. So well, that's all for John, and that pretty much closes out John. And my thought at this point is that I may do his epistles next, just a continuing John theme, and some interesting things there. Try to see if we can determine proof of John going to Ephesus. Then we may start on Revelation. So that's all I have for today, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Let me close with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time spending your word and all the promises that you have showed us that are still to this day true, that your word has stood this, the test of time. I'm looking forward so much to that blessed hope. And you'll soon return to receive us unto yourself. But I just so look forward to that day. Well, I want to be also please be with Cynthia as the doctors are still taking care of her in the hospital, and that you be with Tuck and Molly, and that you also be with the pastor. Here I go again with the name. Zacharias. And his wife and kids, that you give them safe travel today as they head to back home again. And that you give us your wisdom and understanding as to how we should proceed, Lord, and that we can rely on your what you want done in this situation for our church. And I praise you and I'll thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen. That was a great weekend with Pastor Jamie Sakaros. And it, if you get a chance and you haven't seen them yet, they're on Facebook at the moment. And I'll be working on getting them up on the webpage, the three services he gave yesterday. And they are an excellent preacher. And so we'll see how the Lord leads. So more to come on that. And I will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.